Welcome to episode 165 of the Fredcast Cycling Podcast for August 26th, 2010. My name is David, and I'm a Fred. On this week's episode of the Fredcast, we finally round out our interviews from Press Camp 2010, including an interview with Alex Rims and another one from Cliff that was embargoed, but now I'm pleased to be able to bring it to you. Following that, I've got a great interview with the folks from Fizzari Bicycles, who have a very unique way of selling you bikes that are guaranteed to fit. So sit back, relax, and if you're riding your bike, hammer just a little bit harder, because here comes the Fredcast. Hey, fellow Freds, welcome back to another episode of the Fredcast. Yeah, I realize it's been a long time, and I've gotten your emails saying, hello, David, what's going on? And I got to apologize. Between the last show and this one, it's been quite a number of days. For me, that's also included my first triathlon under my belt. I stunk up the joint, in case you're wondering. Let's see, what else? Well, Levi Leipheimer wins Leadville. Levi Leipheimer wins the Tour of Utah. Great back-to-back wins for the Team Radio Shack star. I've probably traveled about 20,000 miles for business. I had the flu. It's been quite a while, and a lot has gone on. Now, I've got some interviews to bring to you today, but before we get to that, I do want to thank our show sponsor, and that is none other than JensenUSA.com. Now, JensenUSA has been sponsoring the Fredcast for many months now, and I've heard from so many of you telling me that you really didn't know about Jensen perhaps before they sponsored the Fredcast, and you're so happy that they've been sponsoring, because since then you've learned about their great deals and their great customer service. As a matter of fact, I heard from a listener recently who told me about the great customer service experience that he had had. Believe it or not, he had a little bit of a hiccup in his order, and bam, Jensen USA took care of it right away as soon as he brought it to their attention. For me, I needed to get some new tires just before that triathlon, which I'm going to tell you about in a little while. Went right to Jensen USA, and they were here very, very quickly, and the price was fantastic. No matter what you are looking for road or for mountain, whether it's something common or something unique, Jensen USA can help you out. Now, help me out and help Jensen USA out. Make sure that they know how you heard about their store. And there's two ways to do that. To get to Jensen USA, either go to thefredcast.com and click on the Jensen USA link on the right-hand side of the page, or go to jensenusa.com/thefredcast. Either one of those ways of getting to their site is going to tell them, hey, we heard about your store through the Fredcast, and that's going to validate what I think they already know, which is that advertising on the Fredcast has been a good value for them. And I've heard from all of you that hearing about Jensen has been a good value for you as well. So please click on one of those links. Thank you so much for supporting Jensen USA. And thank you, Jensen USA, for supporting the Fredcast. Now, as I mentioned at the top of the show, I am very, very much behind on the Fredcast. So the next show that you're going to get from me is going to be a long all-news show where I bring you up to date on everything that's gone on in the world of cycling, whether that's in product news. A new Garmin was released, by the way. We'll be talking about that on the next show. It looks very, very sweet. Or whether that's in professional cycling news, again, Levi Leipheimer winning Leadville and the Tour of Utah, advocacy, legislation, anything from around the world. We'll be talking about that on the next show. But first, I wanted to share really a personal experience with you. You know, when I started the Fredcast, you remember you way, way back on show number one, and you can get that in the archives if you like. I remember saying, you know, I love cycling. I love riding my bike. Doing charity rides is great, but I'm never going to, you know, be a triathlete. I'm never going to ride the Alpe d'Huez. Check both those off the list. You know that I rode the Alpe d'Huez 3 years ago, And 2 weekends ago, Mrs. Fredcast and I participated in our very first triathlon. Now, I got to be honest, we didn't do a whole lot of tri-specific training. We didn't learn about how to make those transitions really fast. We didn't go out and do a whole lot of open water swimming, thank goodness, because this one was in a pool. I know you think that's cheating, but for those of us doing our first try, it was awesome. But we went out and we did run. We did swim. We did ride to make sure that we'd be able to make it through the distance. And our whole purpose, because neither one of us really is a racer, although we're very competitive people, we simply had the goal of finishing. So the weekend before the triathlon, oh, and one other thing, this was a reverse tri, which to me, when it's hot in Utah, doing your swim last just sounded fantastic to me. Plus, considering the fact that it was in a pool, it made sure that the whole field was very much spread out by the time we got to the pool. But anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. So the weekend before the event, after having been doing some running and some swimming and lots of riding as usual, we decided that we would go out and we would do our own triathlon. So this was a sprint triathlon. And so she and I went out and we first did our 5K run. And we did it as an out and back, got right back to the car, which was parked in the parking lot of the local aquatic center, got on our bikes and went and did our 12-mile ride, got back to the car, went and did our swim. It was about a 350-yard swim, so not a big deal. And we were satisfied that we'd be able to make it. On the day of the event, we went out and we made sure that we were there early. We set up our transition zone. And again, we were not as, how shall I say, particular about our transition as a lot of the other more experienced triathletes, the ones who were out there trying to podium that day, were setting up their towels just so, putting their shoes on their pedals already, really just having everything set up so that they'd get into the transition zone and get right out again. For us, it was about the experience. We were treating it more like we would a charity ride if we were out on our bikes. We just wanted to go out, do the event, and finish. We started with the run. We ran together. Neither one of us a very fast runner. Mrs. Fredcast, of course, her name is Donna. You know that. She and you also know that she's got MS. So after about the first 2 miles, she needed to do a little bit of walking. She was getting those tingles in her legs that a lot of folks with MS get. And so we walked a little bit. And then finally, we got to the transition zone for the bike. And it was at that point when she just sort of looked at me and said, just go. Fueling was a bit of an issue for me and something I'm going to need to learn about if I'm going to do more triathlons. I got about halfway through the bike and I'm honest, I was really hauling and nobody passed me. I passed everyone I saw. Now, of course, a lot of the runners who were really running fast were way ahead of me because they really ran the thing whereas we jogged it. Anyway, I was passing everybody. And then about midway through the ride, I obviously hadn't fueled yet, and this has never happened to me on a century. I got a cramp in my left calf, and I really had to slow down. I grabbed a gel, drank a lot more electrolyte drink, and reached down, massaged it, tried to stretch it out, and was able to finish the bike. But the second half, I really was much, much slower than I was in the first half. And then it was time for the swim. And this was where I made another fatal mistake. I'm not a Speedo kind of a guy. And so I wasn't necessarily wearing Speedos underneath my bike shorts. And I made the mistake of wearing bib shorts, which I always do when I ride. And that's what I ran in as well. And so I did what I call a surfer change in the transition. I wrapped a towel around myself and I literally removed my shorts. Nobody saw, don't worry. And then put on a regular bathing suit. And so my transition from the bike to the swim was incredibly long. Call it about 4 minutes by the time I finally jumped into the pool. My swim was good. It was a reasonable speed. And at the end of the day, I was pretty much last in my age group. I felt good at the end. I felt like I could have done it faster. I felt like I could have gone longer if I needed to. And by the time Donna finished, she felt good as well. Neither one of us did very well. We are both planning on going back and doing another triathlon. And not repeating the same mistakes. So for instance, and I know a lot of you are going to think this sounds incredibly ignorant, but from somebody who's primarily a cyclist, I had no idea that they make specific shorts just for tries that you can swim, run, and bike in. Trust me, for my next triathlon, I'm definitely getting those. And I'm going to be a little bit smarter about setting up my transition, about where I place my bike and where I place all of my gear. And next time, my goal isn't just going to be to finish. It's going to be, well, all right, how about next time I finish mid-pack, and then we can work on it from there. There's no doubt that I'm not going to become a triathlete who's going to go out and do Ironman distances, or although I suppose at some point I'd like to try an Olympic distance. For now, I'm just satisfied with the fact that I achieved one of the goals that I talked about a couple of years ago here on the Fredcast about wanting to do a triathlon. Now I'd like to perfect it a little bit more. And I know that Don is talking about doing the same thing. So hopefully I'm going to learn from the mistakes that I made on this triathlon. Hopefully you'll learn a little bit from the mistakes that I made as well. But I thought you'd be interested in the story because I get a lot of emails and a lot of phone messages from those of you saying, hey, we'd like to hear more about triathlon on the show. We'd like to learn more about doing our first triathlon. So there's my experiences of how my first triathlon went. I'd love to hear how yours went. If you want to send those in as a voicemail, or you want to send an audio comment, I would love to share those here on the show. And when I get ready to do my next one, I will let you know. And of course, I would be remiss if I didn't also thank my buddy Kendall, who those of you may know from his Confessions of a Bike Junkie blog, or you may also know from Twitter. His handle there is VeloFreak. It was Kendall's idea that Donna and I go do this because Kendall was part of Team Fredcast on the recent MS ride here in Utah, and he really encouraged us to do it. So thank you, Kendall, very much. And he did a great thing that day too. He rode with his 14-year-old daughter and did the entire race with her, and it was a great father-daughter experience for them. So that's the story of my first triathlon. I would love to hear from you about the story of your first triathlon. Well, next up, I have another interview from Press Camp 2010. It's our penultimate interview, and this is once again with Cliff. And you'll recall that we did a longer interview with Cliff earlier in my Press Camp coverage. This one was one that we did the very same day, just before we did the one that you've already heard, but this one was embargoed. And if you're not familiar with that term, it essentially means that when a company tells you about a story or a product, in advance of when they are willing to have you release that information to the public, it's called an embargo, and they ask you if you will withhold your coverage of that story or that product until a particular date. Well, that date has now passed, and we are now free to share this great information with you about this new product, or actually this improved product from Cliff. I'm with Chris Randall. He's the brand manager for Cliff Shot, and that is specifically the product we're going to talk about today. Chris, you told me that you're going to be making some changes, and you're here to announce those to everybody. Tell me some of the changes that you're going to be making to what is already a fantastic product.
Well, thanks. Yeah, it's true. We're actually going to be completely revamping the gel this fall. So come October, we'll be shipping something that's totally new. We've done some new research, and we have a brand new formulation. The base ingredients are going to be organic maltodextrin and organic evaporated cane juice, or ECJ. From an efficacy standpoint, that brings a big benefit to the new gel. Our prior formula really just broke down into glucose in the body. Our new formula is going to break down into both glucose and fructose. So for an athlete, that's a benefit because now there's two pathways for your body to absorb carbohydrate. And in the end, you can actually absorb more carbohydrate that way. Another reason the efficacy has been increased on the gel is we've added more sodium and more potassium. So those are the key electrolytes lost in sweat. If you're either working really hard or it's in the summer and you're just pedaling along and you're sweating, you're going to be getting rid of sodium and potassium and more prone to muscle cramping. So by taking more in through your gel, you can avoid that. The other thing with the gel is that the consistency overall is much thinner. So when you open the pack, it's going to dispense more quickly, and then it's going to go down into your stomach more quickly as well, and ultimately help your blood sugar more quickly. And then our flavors are really just greatly improved. We've got some great new flavors in citrus and chocolate cherry, and then we're bringing some of our old flavors forward as well under the new formulation, things like chocolate and mocha and strawberry. They're just really indulgent, and they taste fantastic. In terms of packaging, we'll still have the litter leash, but we've made some refinements. So the opening of the package is a little bit narrower. So when it goes into your mouth, you won't feel the sides of the package against the side of your mouth. It'll be nice and comfortable. The corners and the shoulders of the packets are going to be rounded versus being at right angles as before. So it'll be nice and comfortable in a hand or in a jersey pocket. And then you'll recognize the new product with a new flavor call out, or a new formula call out on the package itself, so you'll know that you've got the new stuff. So again, that'll be out this fall, and you can find it at your local bike shop or online at some of the national retailers as well.
One of the things that people have gotten used to with this particular product is that some of the flavors have caffeine. So which of the flavors in the new formulation are going to have caffeine, and will there be varying levels of caffeine?
Yeah, so we've got six flavors in our base energy gel, and three of those will be caffeinated. We've got a citrus and a strawberry that are going to have 25 milligrams of caffeine, and our mocha will have 50 milligrams of caffeine. And as a point of comparison, a can of Coke has 50 milligrams, and a cup of, or a 12-ounce cup of Starbucks has about 100 milligrams of caffeine. So you can think of those as comparisons. Then that's the base. We've also got what we're calling the turbo line of gel, which is two flavors, double espresso and chocolate cherry. Each of those have 100 milligrams of caffeine per packet. So that's a lot. You know, when you take a gel, you eat it and it hits your stomach in about 5 seconds, that amount of caffeine will get you going really quick. And I should say too about caffeine. Caffeine is safe, and it's a known performance enhancer. There's a ton of sports science behind it that shows it increases your motivation, increases your focus, and it actually helps your body burn body fat as fuel, and it spares glycogen, which is a good thing for athletes.
With the turbo version of the product, different price point for that product?
It is. That'll be $1.99, so a little bit more expensive for us, so there's a little bit higher price point. And then the base will be at $1.29, which is just slightly higher than where we are now on our base.
And despite the new formulation, people will still be able to get these products at the same places they've always found them?
Absolutely. The distribution will be the same, so we'll be found in local bike shops, we'll be found at some of the national retailers, and of course online.
And where can people get more information between now and when you actually launch the product?
They can come to cliffbar.com and find out more about the pending launch.
Excellent. Thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
Now, I also have a confession to make about this particular product. When I was at press camp, Chris gave me a bunch of these new CliffShot energy gels. They were in plain white wrapping. They were not with the patented litter leash that Cliff is famous for, but I had an opportunity to use these at several events recently, including the Utah MS ride and also at that triathlon 2 weeks ago. And it's everything that you heard about in the interview, and I'm really looking forward to the opportunity to actually being able to purchase these in the future. So watch for them coming out in October. And of course, as Chris said, in the meantime, go to cliffbar.com and check them out. Next up is our final interview from Press Camp 2010. I had the opportunity to sit down and talk to the folks from Alex Rims and A-Class Precision Hand-Built Wheels. Now, a lot of us, I think our first introduction to Alex Rims was when they were spec'd on a bike as OEM or original equipment on that bike. I found out that there's a lot more to this company when I was at Press Camp, and you are about to find out a lot more about them as well. Enjoy. I'm with Jason Rico from Alex Rims, and we're looking at a wide variety of wheels that they make. And before we get too into the technical details of each wheel, Jason, if you would, take me through a little bit of the history of the company.
Well, David, Alex Rims has been around since 1991. We've been building rims for a lot of people. 10 years ago, we started our wheel brand, A-Class Wheels. And it was an opportunity for us to take what we know in rim technology and develop that into complete wheel systems. Most people now want to buy a complete wheel, and what we've done is offered them the best value with some of the best technology to deliver high-quality wheels under the A-Class brand.
So I think a lot of people first became familiar with A-Class when they bought a bike and it was spec'd with wheels that said A-Class. But now you've really transitioned. You're still doing that and very successfully, but you've really transitioned into also an aftermarket brand. Tell me about how that transition was made.
Well, yes, you'll see a lot of our wheels on. Walk into any bike shop, and a bike under $2,000 will probably have an A-Class wheel on it or an Alex rim. But we have a lot of technology that is very high-end that is out of the reach of the OEM customer. So a bike company doesn't want to spend $800 on a pair of wheels. So we took that technology and offered it into our aftermarket A-Class brand, where now we're offering wheels with Scandium rims, with Scandium and carbon fiber rims, or high-end hubs. We do a lot of road tubeless things now, and that is geared more towards the guy that wants to go and buy a pair of wheels versus the guy that's buying a bike that comes with a pair of wheels on it. And it's a good opportunity for the customer to get a super high-end pair of wheels without spending a fortune.
And I think that you may have just surprised a lot of people when you say things like Scandium and carbon and tubeless, a lot of technologies. You've now put yourselves in the same class with some of these brands that people go into their store and ask for.
Yeah, it's the technology that we have and the processes and materials we have. Alex has been around, again, for 20 years. And another thing about the company is we don't just make bicycle wheels. Obviously, that's where we started, and that's always been our bread and butter and the core of our business. But we do a lot of stuff in aerospace. We now forge aluminum truck wheels. So, 18-wheeler wheels that are forged in our factory, it's some pretty high-end stuff. So with all the stuff that we've learned from other processes, we can take that technology and those materials and put it back into the bicycle business. And we've been making welded rims for a long time, as long as many of the European brands have. And with high quality results, our Scandium is a very difficult material to work with, but we've had a lot of success with that, and we make some Scandium rims for other customers as well.
You keep using the words factory and make, but I've been in a lot of factories in Europe and in Asia, and a lot of times you're getting products and parts from suppliers. How much of the process are you actually performing in your own factory?
Yeah, that's a good question, because there are a lot of brands that are just putting things together. We manufacture our rims. We manufacture our hub shells. We buy the internals just because there's people that are better at that than we are. And then we do all the assembly process ourselves. And through our experience, we've learned that quality is really what matters, especially with a bicycle wheel, because as everybody knows, when you have a failure with a wheel, it causes a lot of problems when you're out in the middle of nowhere. So we partner. We use only DT spokes, high-quality spoke, easy to get, easy to maintain. And we build all of our wheels by hand. And I think that's an important finishing step, too, because we can tension it, make sure everything is completely dialed before it goes out the door.
Now, one of the biggest trends, growing trends, specifically in road, is tubeless. What's new from A-Class when it comes to tubeless technology?
We have two road tubeless wheel sets. We have an ALX 650 wheel set, which retails for $699. And then an ALX 730 wheel set that retails for $799. High-end wheels, pretty lightweight. The 730 weighs only 1,530 grams a pair, so it's pretty light. But road tubeless technology is something I think that the industry is headed towards as more things become available. And when you look at that category, it was you had to buy a Dura-Ace wheel. Now Shimano has two wheels. Camping Knoll and Fulcrum have three wheels. Core has a wheel. We have two wheels. So it's becoming a lot more accessible. But the advantages of it are it's more comfortable to ride. It's less likely to fail. And it rolls faster. But I think comfort is really the good thing about road tubeless. You can run a little bit lower pressure so you don't have all that vibration going up through your back.
Yeah. So I walk into my local bike shop, and I'm interested in moving to tubeless technology. can I simply buy a fully built wheel, or can I spec a hub that I like? And how does that process work?
Well, we have two options there. We have the two wheel sets that we offer completely built. And then the rim that we use on the ALX 730 is available as a rim also. So you can take that and build it up with, you know, a power measuring hub or any kind of high technical hub that you might want to use. And so your bike shop can just build that wheel using our road tubeless rim. So you get all the advantages of road tubeless as well as having a specific hub that you have in mind.
Sure. Okay. Moving away from tubeless, what's new in a conventional road wheel?
We have a wheel set called the ALX 630, which is a very light wheel set at 1,430 grams. And people are surprised that it's so light when you consider that we're using DT spokes, not some magic spoke that doesn't weigh anything. But I think that's a testament to our technology that shows that we can make something light and still be strong and still use conventional materials. It uses hidden nipples on it, so it looks pretty sexy. And you know, and that wheel retails for $799 as well.
$799 a set?
A pair, yes.
You keep bringing up the DT spokes, and I think that it's something I'd like to focus on for a moment. Number one, DT, very well-known, well-respected brand. But maintenance is also an issue because Friday afternoon, I'm on a training ride. I've got a race on Saturday. I break a spoke. How easy is it to find those spokes?
I think any bike shop will be able to help you, whether it's – and even if they don't stock a DT spoke, it's still a standard wire spoke with a standard nipple on it, so it's easy for people to get. To make it even easier for you, all of our wheels on our website list the spoke length that you need for left side, right side, front wheel, whatever. So you don't even have to guess there. You can walk into a bike shop and say, I need a 278 millimeter spoke, and bang, you're back on the road.
Okay, what about mountain bike technology? What's your newest, latest, greatest high-end wheel when it comes to mountain bike technology?
On the mountain bike side, you know, I was talking about Scandium earlier. So we have a pair of mountain bike wheels that weighs 1,350 grams, made with our 300-gram Scandium rim. Super lightweight, super sexy. And the cool thing, I think, about it is that we don't put rider weight limits on these wheels. A lot of people say, well, if you weigh more than 140 pounds, you can't ride this. And, you know, that's all of us, right?
Yeah.
So we recommend it for cross-country only, but it's a lightweight wheel set, 28 spokes in the front, 32 in the rear, so it's stable, and it's been pretty good for us.
Nice. Okay, if people want more information about A-Class and Alex, where can they go? Where can they find the wheel that they're looking for and then go into their dealer and make it happen?
The best place is, you know, it's the new era, so the best place is on the web. You can go to alexrims.com. And that will take you to the A-Class site, or you can go to aclass-wheels.com. So either way, and there's a lot of information there, and it's updated. And you can also read about what our sponsored riders are doing and how things are going. You know, we have Gunrita Dolly riding our wheels, Donnie Robinson, who's the current BMX world champion, riding our wheels, Fionn Griffiths, Marcus Klinsmann, all these high-quality athletes, and that's what helps us really to improve our product.
Well, Jason, thank you so much for your time today, and thanks for sharing the A-Class wheels with me.
Well, thanks, David. It's been a good time, and I hope your listeners enjoy what we had to say.
Well, there you go. That's going to wrap up our Press Camp 2010 coverage, and just in time, too, because right around the corner is Interbike 2010. Now, the Fredcast is coming up on its fifth anniversary in November. So this is the fourth Interbike that I'm going to be covering for the Fredcast, and the second in a row where I've been honored by Interbike, and they've asked me to host their Interbike TV from the show floor segments, where we'll be going out and finding trends and new products and personalities and bringing those to you in video form. You'll be able to find those on the Interbike website. You'll also be able to find those on the Fredcast.com website. We had a great time doing that last year. We've got some great things planned for this year, so look for that coming up in September. Now, for those of you who will be at Interbike, or for those of you who are in the Las Vegas area, or just if you'd like to show up, As you well know, Interbike is a trade-only event. You've got to have credentials and a badge to get in. But there are a lot of activities that go on after hours to which pretty much anyone is invited. And some friends and I host one of those, and that is the second annual bike tweet up at Interbike. Now, this year, we've got a lot of great stuff planned for the tweet up. Last year, we had about 200 people. We had a great charity raffle. We gave the money to AIDS and also to multiple sclerosis. We're doing it again this year. It's on Tuesday, September 21st in the evening, and we are just inking the agreement with the venue, but it will be very close to the Sands Convention Center, so those of you who are attending can walk, but there'll be a lot of room. We'll have drink specials and food specials. We'll be having a charity auction again. We've already found a number of great raffle items this year, stuff from Garmin, Bike Pure, Cat Eye, Road ID, CD, Training Peaks, Velo Images, and a lot more. We're really looking forward to this event. We hope that you will join us. We have a website. It's biketweetup.blogspot.com. And no, you don't have to be on Twitter to attend. It is a meetup, a time to acquaint yourselves with people in the bike industry. And also, we're going to be doing a preview of the forthcoming movie from Cycle Film. He went out and he filmed the making of the Cycle Passion calendars a couple of weeks ago, and he's making a DVD about it. And Marcus is going to preview that at our tweet up. Please join us September 21st in Las Vegas at 6 p.m. Go to biketweetup.blogspot.com. And again, watch for all of the great Interbike coverage that we'll be bringing you via video straight from the show floor at both Outdoor Demo and at the Indoor Interbike Expo. Interbike's a great event every year, and it's my pleasure to bring it to you every year. Well, another event that takes place every year and one that I've got to get to in the coming years is RAGBRAI, the Register's annual Great Bicycle Ride Across Iowa. Thousands upon thousands of cyclists riding for a week every single day in a part parade, part sideshow, part charity ride, part century, part camping tour. It's just an amazing event. You roll from town to town in Iowa and enjoy some great food and a lot of great pie and a lot of fantastic Iowan hospitality. Our friend Rex Anderson took part in RAGBRAI once again this year with his Band of Cousins team, and he met some folks there who were familiar with the bike brand Fezzari, F-E-Z-Z-A-R-I. And shortly after the ride, I got an email from one of those folks putting me together with the people at Fezzari Bicycles. Turns out it's right down the road from my office for my day job, and I had the opportunity to stop by there about 2 weeks ago and meet with the folks there, learn a little bit about their operation, and get this interview. Now, after the interview, they gave me a bike to test, and I have been doing so, and I'll be bringing a review of that bike in the coming weeks. But in the meantime, I thought you'd be interested in this interview about Fezzari and their very unique way of providing you with a nearly custom fit over the internet for bikes that are incredibly well specced out and very high-end, but for a very reasonable price. So here's my interview with Fezzari Bicycles. I hope you enjoy. Today we are at Fezzari Bicycles, and I am with Tyler Cloward. Tyler found me on the internet, which is apropos considering what your company does, through our friend Rex Anderson, who was at RAGBRAI this year, and invited me down to take a look at their operation. I've been impressed, and to go out on a test ride on one of their bikes. But before we do that, Tyler, if you would, tell me a little bit about the history of the company and also about the name of the company.
Fezzari Bike's been around, we're going on 6 years now. The original intent of the company was we wanted to build extremely high quality bikes. And the original idea was to sell to dealers, to sell to bike shops, sell to distributors. But we started out on the internet. We started doing just direct sales, you know, just to help build the name a little bit, and then we were going to go out and get dealers. But we found this little niche market, you know, with technology the way it is. Most people sit in front of a computer. They have access to a computer, you know, with the Facebook, the Twitters, the podcasts. And we found this little niche of being a bicycle manufacturer who sells online. And so we've kept it that way. We're growing like crazy. And most of all, we're having fun on our bikes. The Fazari, the name actually pays homage to some of the original designers. It's an Italian family name. So that's where the name came from. We're just building bikes. The big thing with Fazari is we custom build every single bike. We go through a 23-point custom setup, which we don't for yourself. We're getting you set up on the CR5, which is our flagship model road bike. 15-pound full Dura-Ace, all carbon bike. So we custom fit every single bike. And the reason why we do that is because everyone's proportion just a little bit different. One guy that's 6 foot may have a 31-inch inseam, where the next guy that's 6 foot may have a 35-inch inseam. Torso lengths are going to be different. Shoulder widths are going to be different. Arm lengths are going to be different. And what typically happens is, you know, for instance, on the 55 centimeter bike for, you know, that medium size frame, you'd get on average, most of the time you're going to get, you know, a 90 millimeter stem. And the one guy that has the long, long torso may need something longer or may need something shorter or a different angle, or someone with real, real broad shoulders may need a different bar width. Typically you would pay some money for a fit, you know, a consultation to go through a fit. And then you would have to purchase the new stem or the new bar or the new crank arm length. For myself, on my mountain bike, for instance, I have a really, really long inseam and I need a longer seat post. You would have to purchase that on top. We include that with every single bike. It's nothing extra you're paying for. And then the next real kicker of the company is quality. We stress about quality. That is the very, very, very last place we want to cut corners on. Our frames are some of the most expensive frames we produce because we use the highest quality resins in our carbon. All of our aluminum frames are hydroformed, so we form gussets in. On our mountain bikes, for instance, we run sealed bearings on all the pivot points. It really is just real, real quality. We offer lifetime warranties on absolutely everything.
So I want to come back to some of that, but I want to start back with the custom fit because, and first of all, about being on the internet. You're right. I think whenever somebody is considering the purchase of a new bike, and a lot of our listeners are typically looking for a higher end bike, they're about to spend a lot of money. And so before they do that, they're pretty tech savvy. They're going to go on the internet and they're going to start looking at geometries and they're going to look at how the bike is spec'd out. So for instance, you mentioned the CR5, Dura-Ace bike, carbon fiber. They're going to go out and look at carbon fiber, Dura-Ace equipped bikes, and they're going to start comparing. With you, they buy it directly from you as opposed to buying it from a dealer. What does that mean to them as far as price?
As far as price goes, what happens with most companies is you have the factory who sells to a distributor, who sells to a bike shop, who sells to you and I. With us, with Fazari, we sell wholesale. We sell direct. We don't sell to distributors. We don't sell to bike shops. So we cut the middleman markup out. So the CR5, for instance, you know, like you mentioned, the monocoque carbon fiber frame, full Dura-Ace 7900. We use some FSA parts on the bar and the crank, Cerium wheels from Mavic. Just a killer bike. That bike could run you about $7,500. We sell that bike every single day with a custom fit for $4,450.
Okay, so I'll give you all a second to pick your jaws up from the ground because that's a really amazing price and the custom fit. What I did before I came in today was I went online as if I was buying the bike, even though I'm just testing it, and I went through your 23-point custom fit program. And you asked me about my shoulder width. You asked me about my inseam and a number of other pertinent points. Let's assume that I was just buying the bike and you were going to send it to me. I see some people behind us. They're working in the shop. What are they doing? What am I going to expect? How will my bike be different than if you purchase that bike? And how does it get delivered to me?
So what happens when you go through, we've actually just barely revamped our whole website. And it's very, very simple. You go through, place a few measurements in there, take a few measurements, takes you, you know, maybe 5 minutes. All you need is a little tape measure. You'll get, you know, like you mentioned, height, inseam, torso, shoulder width, arm length. And then there's also a section where you can write comments. You can write things like, you know, when I ride, I get a little bit lower back pain. You know, I've got this in my knee, or, you know, I'm a real aggressive rider. I like to ride like this. You know, I may want to size down a little bit on my frame. You know, with everybody listening, the Freds, the so-called Freds, you've been on your bike. You're not a first-time buyer. You know what you like. You know where you've been, and we leave that comment to you. And it's very, very often. I actually work with customers very often where, you know, they're in between. We're not quite all the way sure what they're meaning. So I'll actually hop on the phone and I'll spend 5, 10, 15 minutes with the customer talking about them, finding about where they ride, how they ride, how much they ride. And we've actually made some changes based off of talking to the customer. So what happens when we receive your information off the website? We'll have one of our mechanics pull the information. We keep all of your measurements here in a big database, and we have some configurations that we use. They will build the bike up to those specs, go through, tune all the derailleurs, tune all the brakes, mountain bikes, we tune all the suspension, check true on the wheels, and then we actually go and ride the bike here inside of our facility just to make sure the stem's straight, really the suspension cycling on the mountain bikes, and it really is just top-notch. Then to go even further than that, we have another mechanic go through the whole process and double check everything. We turn every single bolt on the bike, torque it down just to make sure it's perfect, package the bike up, ship it to you. When you receive the bike, take 10 or 15 minutes, cut away the packaging, bolt on the handlebars, seat post, front wheel with the quick release pedals, and you're ready to go.
Now, what are you changing? What's different between mine and yours? Are you doing handlebar width? Are you doing stems? Are you doing seat post? What are all of the different points that where you're using these measurements that I've sent to you?
We do, number one is frame size, really. We get you on the proper frame size. For me, for instance, I'm a tall guy. I'm 6'4" and I have a 35.5-inch inseam. But I've also been riding for quite a while. And typically, just from those two measurements, I would be put on an extra large frame on the 61-centimeter frame. I actually size down and I ride a 58 because I like a real aggressive race-like feel. My saddle's way above my bars. I like to get a real compact feel just because I've been riding a lot, and that's what I prefer. Mm-hmm. So it's one's frame size. Second point, we get stem length, stem angle, bar width, crank arm length, saddle fore aft position. On there, we get seat post length, but we take it even further than that and make sure we're getting the right components on there. Because you can do different things with cage lengths on your derailleurs. We're making sure all that's perfect. We even go as far as helping out with gearing. You know, we run compact gearing on our cranks. People like standards. We can help out with cassettes and things like that and make sure everything is perfect for you.
Your parts suppliers must love you because you have to have a huge stock here.
Yeah, they like us. We have some good relationships.
Absolutely. All right. So you get the bike. Now, normally when you buy a bike, you know, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 bike, you walk into the store, you've decided the bike you want. Now you got to go through a setup. I know on my bike, I spent $250 just getting a custom fit, and that didn't include the parts. So this is all included with Fazari. So that's really, really nice. Tell me about the different kinds of bikes that you offer. I see some mountain bikes, some road bikes. Take me through your lineup.
Right now, we currently offer 19 different models. We've got one more bike coming out for 2011. It's a 2.9er mountain bike. On the road bike end, we start with an aluminum bike. It's aluminum frame, carbon fork, carbon seat post, 105 Ultegra mix. Just a good quality, you know, really do everything bike. That one you're looking about at the $2,000 price point retail, we're at $1,150. And then we do three different carbon fiber bikes. It's called our 4A series, our 4A CR2, CR3, CR5. And what those are, full monocoque carbon fiber frames, and then we just change components. Start with a full Ultegra build, jump up to Ultegra Dura-Ace, but then you do upgrades in wheels and bars and stems. But one thing to note as well is it's not just the drivetrain that gets upgraded. A big thing as well that goes to the whole ride quality of your bike, as you understand yourself, wheels are a big one. Crank is a big one. But even further than that, with stems and saddles, those are your big contact points. We don't really skip corners on those. We use the bigger diameters, the 31.6 diameter bars, the bigger seat posts, and things like that. We also do a couple hybrid bikes, cruise up and down to path. We actually see a bunch of people around here that are commuting to work on them. We do a single speed, a fixed gear, little chromoly bike. It's fun to cruise around town on. So that's as far as you go. And then we also actually do triathlon bikes. We have full race triathlon bikes. a bunch of triathletes on those. So that's the road end. Mountain end, we do everything from hardtail bikes, carbon and aluminum. We do a bunch of full suspension bikes, 4 inches of travel, 6 inches of travel. And then we've got a full downhill race bike and a brand new hardtail dirt jumper this year.
Huge line. How do, when I place my order with you, and I give you all of my measurements, because of all the customization and all of the custom fitting that you're doing, from the time I click buy until it arrives at my door, about how much time on average?
You're about 7 to 10 day lead time, actually.
So that's really, really good. Now, before that, though, and we were talking about this earlier, you know, people ask me all the time, I want to buy a new bike. What bike do you recommend? And I always shy away from that. You know, we talk a little bit about what kind of riding they want to do, what they want to use it for, what their budget is. And then I typically tell them, all right, go to the local bike dealers, plural, and ride a number of different bikes, and you'll start getting a feel for what it is you like. Your customers don't have the opportunity to do that. How do you alleviate the fears that they're going to have about spending, again, CR5, $4,500 or more on a bike? How do you alleviate their fears? My goodness, I'm about to spend all this money. I have no idea what I'm getting.
Well, we're extremely confident in our product. The reviews that customers are posting back, but we also had some reviews in some of the magazines out there. Fully independent. You're going to find that yourself. We're so confident in our product that we know you'll love it. But that's part of the reason why we do the custom fit, is we realize you are buying the bike sight unseen. So we offer the custom fit on the bike, but then we go ahead and we offer a 30-day money-back guarantee. If for some reason you're not satisfied with the bike or the bike doesn't fit, give us a call. If there's something we can help you with, we can go through, we can talk you through a bunch of stuff, you know, little positioning, things like that. We've got a bunch of us here that have been in the industry for many, many years. But really, it's the 30-day money-back guarantee. If that's not working out for you, you know, and it comes down to it, send the bike back. In new condition, we'll refund the money. But really, we don't see bikes come back unless the wife's unhappy is typically the reason.
Husband spent too much money and the wife sends it back. But you also mentioned beyond the 30-day, which is fantastic, a lifetime guarantee. Okay, tell me about that, because a lot of carbon out there, so that's a bit unusual. Tell me about that.
We run a lifetime warranty on every single one of our bikes, including all of our carbon. And it's not just our high-end carbon. We use some of the highest quality resins, some of the highest quality carbon fibers that we will offer a lifetime warranty. It's a manufacturer defect warranty on there that we're just that confident in the bikes.
Okay, now I'm going to take this bike home. I'm going to ride it for a couple of weeks. I'm going to do a review on it, and I'll certainly bring that to everybody here on the show. But in the meantime, if people are now itching to buy their own Fazari, and certainly just to learn more about it, where do they go, and what do you recommend they look for?
You can hop onto Fazari.com. It's F-E-Z-Z-A-R-I. There you can see our whole lineup of bikes. You can see options on the 23-point custom setup. We've got a bunch of technology on our frames. One thing you'll notice, you know, why our bottom brackets are shaped the way they are, why the tubing's shaped the way it is, why we put, you know, the bearings on the pivot points on the mountain bikes and things like that. Or you can give us a call direct, and you can find that number online at Fazari.com as well.
Well, that's excellent. Thank you for your time today. Thank you for the test bike. I'll be back in a couple of weeks, and I'll certainly give you my honest opinions.
Yeah, sounds great.
Well, there you go, my interview with Tyler from Fazari, and I have had an opportunity to ride it a couple of times despite the illness and the travel, including I had an opportunity to ride it tonight as I'm tapering, getting ready for a big century this weekend. Have to be honest, when I first got on the bike, I found that I was feeling, I don't know, something didn't feel quite right. And I got to have to tell you, having gone through this 23-point measurement system and Tyler telling me how confident he was, I was a little bit surprised by that. I went back and I visited with Tyler, and literally the only adjustment we've made so far is to change the angle of the seat. We didn't change the fore aft position. All we did was change the angle, and I'm going to tell you, we changed it maybe a degree, maybe two at the most, and that's it. And already, for my ride today, I can tell that I'm feeling very comfortable on the bike, and this is the bike that I'm planning on riding in the century this weekend, And so far, very impressed with the bike. I tweeted a couple of, maybe about a week ago, that I think Fezzari, which is F-E-Z-Z-A-R-I, perhaps the two Z's stand for Zoom Zoom, because this is a fast bike. I'm looking forward to riding it this weekend and looking forward to bringing you a review on a coming show. In the meantime, if you want to find out more about Fezzari, go to www.fezzari, F-E-Z-Z-A-R-I, for those of you in Canada, F-E-Z-Z-A-R-I.com. Now, one more story I want to bring to you tonight, and this is what I'm going to call breaking news, because literally this came across my email while I was recording tonight's show, and this is from listener Dave in Spring Valley, New York. But he's reporting on a story that happened to his best riding buddy and brother-in-law, Carl, in Angier, North Carolina. On Friday, July the 30th, Carl was in the last mile of a 20-mile training ride near his home, and he was struck from behind by a hit-and-run driver and literally left for dead in the middle of the road. Now, I'm reading from what Dave has to say in his email. Thanks to some passersby and his road ID, Carl was rushed to Wake Medical ICU in Raleigh, where he spent several weeks recovering from a shattered pelvis and fractured ribs and shoulder blade. He came home this past weekend, and he's going to be confined to a wheelchair for at least 6 months, and it's unknown what his long-term losses will be. The family has initiated a complete media blitz and established a reward for information leading to the arrest of the hit-and-run driver. And then he pointed me to the following video from WRAL in Raleigh, North Carolina, who hopefully won't have a problem with me running their audio here.
A cyclist says he was hit by a car and left for dead.
He is telling WRAL his story in hopes of finding that driver. Our Adam Owen spoke with him from his hospital bed at Wake Med in Raleigh.
White Memorial Church and Landmark Roads. This is the spot Carl Damaris says he nearly died, and he doesn't remember anything about it.
I don't know anything.
His wife found out when she got a call at the house.
And then she said, your husband has been hit by a car.
July 30th, Damaris says he was finishing a 20-mile bike ride. He was almost home when it appears a car hit him from behind. He's been in the hospital ever since.
And the pelvis was broken in several places, five or six places.
An x-ray shows bolts and screws holding his pelvis together. There are broken ribs and a concussion. This shattered helmet likely saved him, along with two people who pulled over to call 911.
Everybody tells me it's a miracle.
Damaris is thankful for the two good Samaritans who stopped to offer him help, but he can't help thinking about the person who did not stop, the person who hit him.
But you would like to think that, you know, the human side of it would prevent them from then just driving away and leaving you on the side of the road to die or be dead.
While the driver who hit him is still out there, Damaris will be stuck here recovering.
It's a different world for sure.
He'll be in a wheelchair for months, then therapy to learn to walk again. The avid biker isn't sure he'll return to these roads.
I'm waking you literally are at the mercy of every car passing you.
Adam Owens, WREL News, Johnston County.
Now, those who offered Damaris help identified him from a special ID tag for cyclists he wears around his neck. If you know the person who hit him, please give police a call.
Listener Dave tells me that the first medical bill that Carl has received so far recently came in, and it totals well over six figures. As you can imagine, there's a lot of people in the community who are looking for the person who did this, who left Carl for dead on the side of the road. And Carl and his family have established a wristband fundraiser. For more information, go to carlscrew@yahoo.com. Shoot them an email, and they'll send you some information. Now, I bring this story to you, number one, because, of course, it hits home to all of us. As Carl said, we literally are all at the mercy of every single car and roadway user out there sharing the roads with us, and that is a scary thought indeed. But I bring it to you because, as I've said time after time after time, I read these stories as I'm going through the news every week preparing for the Fredcast, and they scare me, and they should scare you too. It's time for motorists to understand the dangers that are out there for cyclists. And of course, I love the fact that Carl was able to get assistance and notify his family because he was wearing some identification. And I love Road ID. I think it's a great product and certainly something that you can consider. And yeah, I've got a link to it on the Fredcast, but that's not the reason for the story. Make sure that when you're out there, part of protecting yourself, besides wearing your helmet, riding like a good cycling citizen, like I talk about all the time on the Fredcast, make sure that in case of an emergency, whether it's getting hit by a car, having a bad flat on a descent and going down, whatever it is, make sure that there's a way for emergency responders and passersby to identify you, to be able to alert your family and friends to where you are, to know about allergies and other medical conditions that may affect the care that you're going to get. And whether that's through a Road ID or simply, as I used to do way back before Road ID existed, I used to wear military dog tags. I went out and bought some from a military supply store, had them printed up special so that if anything ever happened, I knew that my wife and my family would be able to get the news and the doctors would know, for instance, that I'm allergic to penicillin. So make sure that you're taking care of yourself out there on the road. Make sure that you're carrying some ID. And for those of you in the area near where this happened to Carl, if you have any information, even if you think it's irrelevant, contact the local police department and let them know, because what you may think is insignificant may be that final piece of the puzzle that goes together and helps them find the jerk who did this to Carl. So to Carl and his family, we wish you our best for a speedy recovery. And Carl, I sure hope that you are back on a bike soon. And for the rest of you, any information, contact the local police there in North Carolina, and certainly take care of yourself out there on the road. Well, that is going to do it for this episode of the Fredcast. And as I promised, I'll be back with a super news segment next with the next episode of the Fredcast. But before we go, I do want to thank our show sponsor, Jensen USA. Please be sure to go to jensenusa.com/the Fredcast anytime you are looking for complete bikes all the way down to just getting some new inner tubes to carry in your saddlebag. You will be very pleased with their prices and very pleased with their service. That's jensenusa.com/the Fredcast. We thank you for supporting Jensen, and we thank Jensen for supporting the Fredcast. Well, if you've got anything that you'd like to let me know, just like listener Dave did about Carl's accident, please feel free to shoot me an email anytime. The email address is thefredcast@gmail.com. And of course, visit our website at www.thefredcast for additional contact information, including the Twitter handle. It's twitter.com/fredcast and our Facebook page at facebook.com/fredcast. If you would like to send an audio comment, and I hope that you do. We talked earlier today about my first triathlon. I would love to hear your experiences, your wisdom as well, and I'd be happy to share that on the show with your fellow Fredcast listeners. Please either email an audio comment in MP3, WAVE, or AIF form, or feel free to use our voicemail hotline at area code 661-513-FRED. That's 661-513-3733. Well, it's time once again for one of my favorite parts of the show, something I've been doing since show number one and will continue to do, and something that we're so pleased to have Cadence Revolution helping us out with every week. It's time for your weekly dose of PodSafe cycling music. And yes, this week's PodSafe cycling music was chosen specifically for the Fredcast by the Cadence Revolution, your weekly podcast of PodSafe music that's perfect for your indoor cycling or other indoor workouts, available at www.cadencerevolution.com. Tonight's track is entitled Power It Through, and it's by Robin Brock. And yes, there are links in the show notes to where you can find the artist and where you can find the song on iTunes. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for staying subscribed. Thank you for your positive reviews on iTunes. And thank you for telling your friends. Trust me, these gaps in Fredcast kill me more than they kill you. But folks, unfortunately, real life does sometimes get in the way of podcasting. I've said that before. And as much as it hurts me, hey, got to take care of myself and my family. And I know all of you understand that. Nevertheless, I will be back with that mega news edition of the Fredcast very, very soon between this show and the next. However, enjoy the music, but most of all, enjoy the ride.
to power it through.
You've got the power
to power it through. You've got the power, to power it through.
You've got the power
to power it through, Towards us standing in your face. Death wants to pull your way. Life bites on time. Death gets on every path. You're up to your neck in crap. Life bites on time. You lie in there too. Wait through the snow, push through the mud, and when you fall, pick yourself up.
You've got the power
to power it through.
You've got the power
to power it through.
You've got the power
to power it.
Are you?